Amen. Well, welcome again. I love that song too. Almighty, infinite Father, but yet He's faithfully loving us and calling us His own. And here in our weakness, You find us falling before Your throne. Because You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. And You give the healing and grace our hearts are as long and hunger for. Without Him, we're truly lost, beyond any hope, beyond any help. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, I pray now as we come to this time, Lord, that You would open Your word to our hearts and our minds. And Father, that You would truly draw us close to stand in awe of You. This morning, Lord, that we would be reminded again of the great and powerful, mighty God that we serve. And Lord, that in perspective, we would see our place and our size. And Lord, our need for You. Not just once at salvation, but every day and every moment of every day, Lord, that we need You. And as we read this morning in Corinthians, without the hope of eternity that You provide, we are of all men most miserable. But thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus, that You came to the cross and that You gave us hope for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been wanting for, well, probably since we started the church here, I've been wanting at some point to do a series on the attributes of God. And it's a large subject to cover. It would be quite a long series to do it justice. And I don't know. Even then, I mean, there's no way I could ever do it justice. How can you do justice in looking at and studying and defining the attributes of an infinite God? But this morning, what the Lord's put on my heart for the last several days in preparation for this morning is to take a look at one of those attributes, and I don't know if we'll continue on with that from this point for a while or not. I haven't decided on that yet, but I want to look this morning at the goodness of God. We live in a very interesting time, to say the least. And you look around at what's going on in the world around us, and you look at the things that evil men and women are trying to push forward, and you look at the decline, and you look at the direction of everything, and it's easy to get distracted, and it's easy to get discouraged, it's easy to become overwhelmed. And I know so many people who live in constant fear and dread and worry and fretfulness, and then I know other people who are just angry all the time, and you know, others who buy into it and just, you know, go along with the flow, and it can become overwhelming because we're looking at man. And man is always, we're masters at destroying ourselves, destroying what God's created and what God's given us. And we do such an amazing job, and I don't mean that in a good way, at messing things up. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, when God created a perfect creation that God Almighty, the holy, righteous Creator, could look at and say, it's very good. And we came on the scene, mankind, we came on the scene, and we don't have a timeline of how long it lasted exactly, but it wasn't very long before we started messing things up. We started listening to the father of lies. We started being like a little child that says, I want to do my thing. I want to go my way. I want to be my own boss. I don't have to listen to you. And plunged the whole human race into sin and death spiritually. We read that this morning in 1 Corinthians. As in Adam, all died. And if we look at humanity, if we look at the world around us, if we look at mankind, it's easy and makes sense to be a little depressed, a little discouraged, a little drugged down. But this morning, I want to shift our focus. And I want to look at God. And one particular attribute of God, His goodness. His goodness is in spite of all that humanity has done. It's in spite of everything that we do continuously on a day-to-day basis. And it's amazing. If we really get a glimpse of the goodness of God, our jaw should drop. Especially in comparison to the man, to who, where mankind is and who we are. And so many times we like to think, well, who we were. That's true. But outside of His life in us presently, that's still who we are. If for a moment He stepped back and said, here, you try it on your own. In that moment, I would be lost for eternity. Again. But for the grace of Christ, not just once at salvation, but daily, continually upholding, cleansing, forgiving, washing, giving that grace and that mercy. I want to start this morning. There's a lot of places we could read in the Bible about the goodness of God. It's all through. And I love to see various times, even right through all the Old Testament and New Testament, both, where men of God paused, focused their attention, and just considered the goodness of God. The goodness of God. It's truly astounding. But I want to start this morning in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, we'll start with verse 18, and here we are reading as the children of Israel have come out of the land of Egypt, and Moses is a man who loves the Lord dearly, walks with the Lord very closely. God said of him, He says about Moses specifically, He says, with most men I speak, you know, kind of far off, but Moses I speak face to face as a friend. And Moses knew God in a way that most men and women down through history have never even dreamed possible. Moses had very real, close encounters with God numerous times throughout his life. And he was a man who knew God and loved God dearly and deeply. And here in Exodus chapter 33, beginning with verse 18, he's already been up on the mount once. He's already been communing with God the first time there up on the mountain for, I think it was 40 days. And the children of Israel said, we don't even know what happened to him. Is he still up there? Is he already dead? Been dead for, you know, days and days? We don't know. But here, after he's come back down, after God's again had him write out the Ten Commandments again on the fresh tablets, he broke the first ones in anger. Here he says in verse 18, Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, Moses says, I beseech thee, I'm pleading with you, show me your glory. God, I want to see more. I've already seen some amazing things in my life. I've already seen a bush burning and not be consumed. I've already seen you do miracle after miracle after miracle at my hand in the land of Egypt before the children of Israel. Even after they've come out, God's already parted the Red Sea for them. God's already given them the cloudy pillar by day and the fiery pillar by night. God's already provided manna. God's already provided quail, I believe, by this point. God's already provided water on at least one or two occasions when they were dry and thirsty. They've seen, he's seen God do some amazing things. He's been on top of Mount Sinai already for at least 40 days in the presence of God, hearing directly from God, receiving commands, receiving God's desires and God's plans for his people. But he wants more. And I remember as a young believer getting truly serious with God and beginning to pursue him with my whole heart and following after him with my whole heart. And the farther I went, the more I wanted, and the farther I wanted to go. And I remember at one point telling a friend, I was like, it feels like I just started swimming out into the ocean and I've only swam, or however you say that, a couple hundred feet out. And I already can't touch long ago. I already can't barely see above the waves to see the shore. But I'm just beginning to taste the very beginning of how much more there is to know. As far as I can see, there's more of God to know. And I know that no matter how far I go, there's still going to be more to know. And Moses here has already seen and known amazing depths of God Almighty. He's already become a close, dear friend with God Almighty. He's already spoken to and heard God speak to him, but he wants more. He's already walked with God for many years, but he wants more. And he says, God, I beg you, I beseech you, I'm pleading with you, show me your glory. And God says here, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. What is the definition of what God's going to show Moses here when he shows him his glory? It's his goodness. Isn't that amazing? It's not particularly his might and his power. It's not particularly how he can split the rocks in two and how he can make an entire mountain on fire and smoking. It's not particularly that he can make a bush be burning for however long he wants to without that bush being consumed. It's not particularly his holiness and his righteousness and his fearfulness that he's going to show to Moses here, but it's his goodness. It's his goodness. He says, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Isn't it amazing that we serve a perfectly righteous, holy God who cannot abide sin, who's never had or committed or desired sin? He's perfectly righteous and holy. And yet, in his dealings with mankind, the way that he describes himself and says, this is my name, this is who I am, it's gracious, it's goodness, it's mercy. God Almighty says, I'm going to show you my glory. And how that's going to look is, I'm going to show you my goodness, my graciousness, and my mercy. And he said, the Lord said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Do you think Moses knew this? I think Moses well knew this. Moses wasn't an ignorant man who didn't know how powerful and mighty God was. I don't think Moses cared. Moses wasn't too ignorant to know that if he saw God's face, he would die. But what a way to go. What a way to go. He said, I don't care. God, I want to see your glory. I don't think God was telling him news he didn't know, that if he saw God's face, he would physically die. But he didn't care. There came a place in Moses' life where his hunger and thirst to know God intimately overrode his instinct for self-preservation and for staying alive. He just wanted to get as close to God as he could get, even if it killed him. But God cared. God wanted to take care of Moses and protect Moses. And he says, you can't see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And Moses saw the glory of God that day in a way that I don't think any other man or woman in all history has ever seen. And what does God say he's going to show him? His goodness. And he did. In the following chapter, you can read about it. As God passes by and declares his name as a God of mercy, a God of goodness and love and care. The Psalms are full of the goodness of the Lord. I love reading through the Psalms. Psalm chapter 31. Verse 19 and 20, he says, how great, oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee from the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. How great is your goodness, the psalmist says. He can't get it into words. He's trying. He said, God, you're so good. You're so good to us. You're so good to them that fear you. You're so good to those who trust in you. You hide them. You care for them. You love on them. You're protecting them. He says, you keep them in a secret pavilion. You're keeping them safe. You're protecting them. You're watching over them. You turn on over a couple more psalms to Psalm 33. Verse 1 through 8, he says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. That means it's fitting. It makes sense. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The earth is full of it. You can look around. Everywhere you turn, if your eyes are open, everywhere you turn, you're going to see the goodness of God poured out towards mankind in spite of our wretchedness. Everywhere you turn, you see people breathing God's air, eating the things God's provided, drinking the water God's provided, living the life that God has given and placed in their lungs. You see the goodness of God displayed and poured out all around us. You see his restraining hand keeping things at bay. You see his mercy extended again and again. for any soul who will turn around and come to Him. You see His mercy extended day after day to us. Don't have to walk with the Lord for very long to begin to realize, Lord, I'm coming again. I'm coming again to ask for mercy. The next day, I'm coming again, and you're sitting there going, man, if my kids messed up as often as I do, I'd get pretty frustrated. And yet, God's mercy, His forgiveness, and His goodness, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And He goes on to point out a couple of things. He says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. If you open your eyes and you look around at creation, creation itself speaks of the goodness of the Lord. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And He says, open your eyes. Look around. And you're going to stand in awe of Him. Your jaw will drop. You will be amazed. Look around at the goodness of the Lord that fills the earth, that fills your life, that fills everything you see. This is the only, do you know this is the only planet, star, rock that we have been able to discover with the powerful telescopes and magnifying glasses that man has built, and even out in space that we have telescopes. And this is the only thing, the only planet, star, anything that we've been able to find, as far as we can see, that could sustain life. And God put us here. And He made it perfect for us. It has everything we need. Has nothing that would hurt us and kill us, except us and our sin. Psalm 107, verse 8 and 9, he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. All you have to do is ask. If your soul is hungry and thirsty, it's there. Like Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Every soul, and we talked about this a couple weeks back, the Lord in His very nature and character is waiting to receive any soul who will seek Him. He's waiting. He satisfies. That word comes from the same root as satiate, to be filled to the brim and overflowing. He satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. Brothers and sisters, if you're not filled with that goodness and overwhelmed by it, maybe it's because you're not longing for it enough. Maybe you're not hungry for it enough. Maybe you're still scared to get too close because you're not ready to give up and let go of things that are standing between you and God. I long to be like Moses. I don't care if it kills me. I want to know You deeper, God. I don't care if it kills me. What a way to go in the presence of God. Three more times throughout this psalm, he says this same phrase, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. It's as if